Hello, everyone, and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today is April 6th, and we begin our technology article. Here in the studio with me, I have two panelists. First, welcome Linda.
Hi.
And Linda, you enjoy taking photographs, is that true?
I do, yes. I actually do like taking photos. I haven't been able to as much as I would like, but I've always liked taking photos.
All right. Well, we're glad you're here on this program to give us your expert advice then. And also we have Josh in the studio. Welcome, Josh.
Hi, Brandon. Thanks for having me.
And Josh, you also have a lot of experience taking photographs, correct?
Well, I do have a lot of experience taking photographs. That's correct. My wife and I, we do a little blog, yesyoucan.info, and we both really enjoy taking pictures and sharing it on both our blog and on social media.
Okay, great. Well, I'm glad to have both of you here today to help me discuss this topic. I am not an expert in taking photographs, so I'm learning alongside a lot of you. Of course, I do take photographs. Everyone these days, we take photographs, but I just use my smartphone, and I don't put a lot of thought into it. I don't use filters normally. I just snap a photo and move along. But a lot of people take time to really kind of perfect the photo. And so we are going to look at really a couple of different cameras. We're going to compare some cameras, including some iPhones, different editions of iPhones, and mainly we're going to look at one camera called the DX01 and kind of highlight that for you. Something when it comes to photographs, Linda, what do you kind of enjoy about that? You take them somewhat often. Why do you enjoy taking photographs?
Well, I usually like to take photos of scenery, of landscape, and it's to places that I hike to or bike to. So it's also a way for me to remember that place. So
okay.
It's for memories.
Sure. Do you normally just use your phone or do you use an actual camera?
Well, if I'm hiking or biking, I want my load to be light. So now I have a phone that will take relatively good pictures. Mm. And so I use that because it's so much lighter than lugging a giant camera with me.
It's nice that technology has advanced so much that we can just use our cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And the cameras are, for a lot of cell phones, the cameras are good enough. And Josh, how about you? Why do you enjoy taking photos?
Well, I enjoy them for a lot of reasons. I guess I also, like Linda, really do appreciate them for the value of being able to sort of save memories, especially for exciting places or exciting images. But I also like to just collect interesting images. So a lot of people, you know, would do the Instagram of like food where, like yesterday I think I took a picture of my soup with an egg in the inside just because I really appreciated the way that it looks. So not only just for memories, but also just sometimes images themselves are just very interesting.
Yes, those images can be very captivating, and we can post them online and share those with others. But, you know, a lot of times we use our cell phone cameras that we talked about, as we've already talked about, but maybe you want a nice camera. Maybe you're taking a big trip somewhere and you would like to buy a new camera. Or, as we see here, there's a camera, the DX01, that you can actually attach to your phone if you would like. Well, let's find out more about these various cameras as we open our magazines to page 16. Also, you can follow along on your digital device. Right now, we will have our first reading for today.
Photography innovations. Learn what the latest gadgets and devices have to offer. How to turbocharge your iPhone photography. DXO, which started out as an image processing software company, has developed the DXO1. With an image sensor as large as those typically found in high-end DSLR cameras, but in a body that's smaller than a point-and-shoot, the One promises the best of all worlds. A miniature camera that's tied to a smartphone, but offers much better pictures. I put it to the test against the iPhone 7, Sony's RX105, and an iPhone 6. I shot on automatic with each of the units.
Well, are you ready to turbocharge your iPhone or whatever smartphone that you have? When we talk about turbocharging something, Linda, what are we really saying?
Well, we're talking about giving it an extra boost, like ramping it up a little bit, taking it to the next level. So with your iPhone or, you know, your photography that you do with your iPhone, you can make it better.
Yeah, and we normally think of this with an engine. You make an engine more powerful by turbocharging it. But this can also be used in other contexts, and we see that here. When we are talking about your iPhone, we're trying to make it better in some sense by adding a camera to it. And what is the name of the first camera we are talking about here, and really the main one that we are discussing in this article, Josh?
So the main camera we're discussing here is the DXO1. So the DXO started off as an image processing software company and now has added its own hardware or real camera. So this is the first one of their line.
What do they mean by image processing software?
Well, we use software in order to process images, and that can be anything from changing the way that they look to literally changing the size of the picture, to changing the colors, to even taking bits and pieces of one picture and putting them together. So a lot of people are very familiar with Photoshop.
Mm.
And so Photoshop would be a type of image processing software.
Okay. Well, as we continue on, it says, with an image sensor as large as those typically found in high-end DSLR cameras. Okay, so we're talking about high-end cameras, very expensive cameras, and then we're talking about a specific type, DSLR.
Right, and that stands for Digital Single Lens Reflex Camera. And I have a DSLR, but they tend to be larger because of the functions that they have. But now we see that a camera much smaller can also have the same function, or at least the same image sensor as a DSLR.
All right, and a DSLR is simply a digital camera that has interchangeable lenses, and it has relatively, or actually no shutter lag time, nearly no shutter lag time, that produces high-level image quality. So imagine you have this small camera. You see a picture of the DXO1 there on page 16. It's in the center there. It's attached to the iPhone. And imagine having a camera that small, but that also takes relatively good pictures. And so that's kind of one of the highlights of having such a camera. And what goes on here in lines 17 and 18, but in a body that's smaller than a point and shoot, which is getting to the point that I was just talking about. It is small. What is a point and shoot, Josh?
Well, a point and shoot is a camera. Normally it's a smaller camera, but it's designed so that you can literally just point at something and press a button and shoot or take a picture without having to do a lot of adjustments. So it's designed to be basically automatic.
All right. Well, the DXO1 promises the best of all worlds. It's a miniature camera that's tied to a smartphone that offers much better pictures. So it's convenient to carry around, and according to this article, it seems to be a pretty good camera.
Right. And actually, nowadays, point-and-shoots are pretty good. You don't have to change the lenses, but some, the size of point-and-shoots, they do have interchangeable lenses, so you can still also get that quality of a DSLR. But of course, the smaller, the better, because it's more convenient to carry around.
Right. Well, they did put it to the test, and they tested it against the iPhone 7, Sony's RX100 5, and an iPhone 6. So that is the comparison. And then we see that the writer here shot on an automatic with each of the units. So we're going to look at how the DXO1 performed, and we're going to look at how some of these others performed as well. Let's find out about more of that in our next reading for today.
putting the camera through its paces. In a shoot on a bluff above the ocean, I took portraits of our model, Christina Averkin, as well as action shots and video of her riding a bicycle. I used the One, the RX100, and the iPhone 6. It was a cloudy afternoon with nice filtered light, no stark shadows, but also no direct sunshine to make colors pop. It was up to the cameras to bring out the color, and here, the One easily surpassed the others. In portraits of Averkin, the iPhone 6 produced images that looked decent enough until placed beside the exceptionally crisp results from the One and RX100. The RX100 added a very slight yellowish tone to skin, which warmed up the image, but departed slightly from reality. The One delivered the most true-to-life pictures, with accurate color in spite of the pallid light. When Averkin got on her bike for a cruise along the bluffs, the iPhone 6 and One did the best job keeping her in focus. The RX100 had trouble maintaining focus on her when she started to move, resulting in blurry images. The RX100 did fine focusing on larger objects, cars and buses, in another shooting session.
Okay, so we are putting the camera through its paces. So we have an idiom here that listeners, maybe you have not heard before. Linda, what do we mean when we say we're putting someone or something through their paces?
It just means you make someone show their skills or knowledge, or you make something show its good qualities.
All right, so we're going to put this camera to the test and see if it shows its qualities, its good qualities. So they go out to a bluff above the ocean. They were doing this photo shoot there on a bluff. And when we use this word in this context, what are we referring to, Josh?
Well, here when they're talking about a bluff, so when I think of a bluff, I think of a cliff or a very high area or a series of cliffs that you can easily look out and see sort of a view down below you.
Okay, so they are out by the ocean. That's a good place to take photos usually. And so they took portraits of their model. They had a model there, and as well as action shots and video of the model riding a bicycle. So this sets the scene. What cameras did they use?
They used the One, the RX100, and the iPhone 6.
All right. And was it a nice sunny day, Josh?
No, it was not. It might have been a nice day, but certainly it was not a super sunny day. It was a cloudy afternoon with nice filtered light. So this type of light does allow you to get pretty good pictures sometimes.
All right. And there were no stark shadows, meaning no obvious shadows, but also no direct sunshine to make colors pop. That's a good word to know. If something kind of pops, what is it doing when we're referring to colors popping?
It really stands out. It's bright and you can see it clearly.
Right. So it was up to the cameras to actually bring out the color. So this, I guess, Josh, is a good way to test the camera's ability, because a lot of cameras will take decent photos with nice sunlight, but here it's a cloudy day, and so it will really put the cameras to the test.
Yeah, especially so here they're using everything sort of on a automatic setting. So it's a little bit more like a point and shoot. When you use a camera that can deal with different lighting conditions, sometimes you can set it in such a way in order to really take advantage of the light. But when you're relying upon a camera to do so with its automatic settings, you can really put it through the paces.
All right. So the One did well. It easily surpassed the others. So as we move on, we talk about the model and the iPhone 6, Linda.
Right. And we learned that the iPhone 6 produced images that looked decent enough, but you realize the difference when you place it against pictures or results from the One and the RX, that it pales in comparison.
Yeah. And so a lot of times you think, oh, this looks nice, until you see something else that's better. Isn't
right.
that the way life works
mm-hmm.
normally? And so the iPhone 6 looks pretty good, but when you compare it to these other cameras, it doesn't look as crisp, which means clear. So the DX01 and RX100 compared to the iPhone 6 in this situation, they performed better. So the RX100 added a very slight yellowish tone to the skin, which actually warmed up the image, but departed slightly from reality. What about the 1, Josh?
Well, it says here that the 1 delivered the most true-to-life pictures with accurate color in spite of the pallid light. So a lot of times this is what you're really looking for in an automatic camera, that the pictures that they take really represent like what you would see with a natural eye, mm-hmm. Despite the light conditions. And here when they talk about a pallid light, usually when we talk about pallid, we talk about people because they'll look almost sickly pale.
Mm.
Right? And so they're talking about a light that sort of has the same qualities.
Okay, very pale light. So in spite of the conditions, the DX01 performed well. Well, what about when Averkin, the model, got on her bike for a cruise?
Well, so it's motion pictures. The iPhone 6 and 1 did their best keeping up with her or keeping her in focus.
All right, so next, we see the RX100 had trouble maintaining focus on her when she started to move. And this is a problem with cameras sometimes. If someone is moving, it can be more challenging. So I guess you have to have a really good camera in order to capture a good photo when someone is moving, Linda.
Well, I mean, if you had a SLR, then you could adjust the mm-hmm. speed, right?
Right.
But here, again, it's automatic, so you're relying on those automatic settings to capture.
So if you do it manually, that would solve the problem?
Well, not necessarily. So sometimes you just run into problems with the capabilities of the camera itself. So the nice thing about a good DSLR camera is that it has not only a large sensor or image sensor, but it also has relatively fast shutter speeds and relatively wide aperture settings. Mm-hmm. So it really allows you to get a lot of light with a very, very quick, brief shutter opening and closing, which allows you to take pictures of things moving faster with a very clear picture. Sometimes that's beyond a lot of automatic cameras, but some automatic cameras can tell what's going on and it can adjust themselves accordingly in order to take good motion pictures. And it sounds like the RX100 had a little bit of trouble with that.
Okay, and the RX100 did fine, though, when focusing on larger objects such as cars and buses in another shooting session. So really, they're just comparing it here. In this one context, it didn't do as well. In another, it did fine. So that gives us a bit of an overview of the DX01 when it's compared to the RX105. And the iPhone 6.
And I think for a lot of people, so for example, I have a smartphone that I use as kind of a point and shoot, and it really does great pictures, but in very specific situations. For example, my phone does great low light pictures, and it does great up close pictures, but the zoom is no good. Right, so if I want to take a picture of something far away, I know that either I have to run up to it, or I have to use a different camera. And a lot of point and shoots will do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like in certain situations, they will take great pictures. Other situations, not so much. So you have to kind of know the capabilities of the automatic camera that you have.
That's right. Very good point. Well, how does the future look? Let's find out about that with regards to DX01 and our last reading for today.
How does the future look? DXO has a tough row to hoe because sales of non-smartphone cameras have collapsed. The One, though, could have a chance because it's an impressive piece of technology that, in the right conditions, can produce better quality images than a point-and-shoot that costs twice as much and comes reasonably close to the performance of an expensive DSLR.
Well, Linda, how does the future look for the DX01?
Well, the DX01 has a tough row to hoe, and that's an idiom, and it just means that you have a difficult time or maybe something challenging, difficult situation to deal with. So it's difficult because sales of non-smartphone cameras have collapsed. People aren't buying a camera just to use as a camera. They want it inside their smartphone, so something that has multi-functions.
Right. That's because the phones, their cameras are pretty good overall, right? So why do you want to carry another camera around when you have your phone?
Make the extra expense of buying an additional device.
Right. But I suppose, Josh, if you are really into photography and you want excellent photos, of course, you'll have another camera.
Oh, that's very true. So I think a lot of people who are really interested in photography will probably naturally have maybe more than one camera that they'll take pictures with, just because of what I said, that some cameras are great in certain situations, but not in others. But if you find yourself commonly taking pictures in all sorts of different situations, you kind of want to have the equipment in order to be able to take the best pictures possible.
All right. Well, the one, though, could have a chance because it's an impressive piece of technology that, in the right conditions, can produce better quality images than a point-and-shoot. And so I think the key here for this camera is that it's small and you can attach it to your phone. And if it takes relatively good photos, well, then maybe it will work, Linda.
Right. And like Josh is saying, people who are very interested in taking photos and, you know, taking good photos, then they might be interested in this.
So this camera, the DX01, produces better quality images than a point and shoot that costs twice as much. And so also the price point is something to consider, Josh.
Well, now that is an interesting statement because from what I understand, the DX01 retails for around $450 US. Right.
Yes, they're close to $500. Yeah.
So I would be a little bit surprised if there was a point-and-shoot that cost $1,000.
More than
just a little bit, actually.
Right.
So I don't think they exist.
So maybe this information isn't... You disagree with what this writer said.
I do disagree with this a little bit. Now, maybe if you were talking about a DSLR, those would easily cost twice as much. Now, there are some camera bodies where you can start off with a DSLR that probably retail pretty close to that. But by the time you add lenses that really work for you, lenses easily can be over $1,000, that this would probably be a good way in order to get good quality pictures without having to spend a whole lot of money on a DSLR.
Right, and maybe that's what they're really referring to is the DSLR.
I think that's probably what they're really referring to.
Yeah. Okay, so it comes reasonably close to the performance of an expensive DSLR, and so that's kind of the point here. It is small. It's convenient to carry around, and it's something you can just attach to your phone, and so that could be attractive for many.
Right. But there's something about like holding like a real camera in your hand and like putting your eye through the lens. Now with the smartphone, everything, you know, you just look on a screen.
Yeah.
And it's just a different feeling. I feel that way. And probably, you know, a lot of photographers or people who are used to using a DSLR or an SLR, you know, actual camera to put up to your face.
Right.
I think they probably feel the same way,
too. It's like the difference between reading a real book and something on a tablet, right?
Exactly.
The same feeling.
Now, I would maybe be interested in looking at this. Now, the phone that I have is not an Apple. It's a Samsung. So from what I understand, the DxO doesn't have an Android-compatible device yet, although they're coming out with that very soon. So it's quite possible that sometime this year, it'll be easily available for people with Android devices. So at that point, I might be interested in it if it had a really good zoom function, right? Because then it would add a capability to my phone that my phone doesn't have.
Why do you think oftentimes we talk about this is available for Android, this is available for iPhone. Sometimes they're not out at the same time when they release things. Josh, why do you think they do that? Why didn't they just make this compatible with both formats when they came out with it?
That's a really good question. I think for them, they decided to go ahead and go with Apple because they felt like that was a good initial market. But the physical connector that connects the DxO to the smartphone is a different style of connection. So Apple using, of course, the Lightning port And then Android phones don't use Lightning. So they would need either a different physical connector, or they would have to have some sort of adapter. Mm-hmm. So I think they decided to go with the iPhone market first, mm-hmm. and then, depending on how well it did, then open up the market to other users.
Kind of testing
the
waters.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, we do continue the comparison there at the bottom of page 16, when we talk about how the writer also tested the camera's ability to automatically adjust exposures for wide-angle scenes that have a range of lighting levels from bright to dark. That word exposure, what is that referring to, Linda?
It's how much light the camera is exposed to or that comes in.
All right. Well, for this test, the writer replaced the iPhone 6 with the iPhone 7. The RX 100 came out on top, just ahead of the one with brighter, bolder colors. The iPhone 7 delivered very sharp photos, but with shadows deepened, somewhat obscuring details. And then indoors, the RX 100 achieved a slight image quality edge over the one, which in turn had a slight edge over the iPhone 7. So we kind of get into the details there of this comparison, and actually, in very low light, they also did, there's more information in this original article that we took this from. In very low light, the iPhone 7 excelled, producing a relatively bright image from a dark room. And so all of these cameras at certain points have their advantages. So there's much more that you can dig into regarding each camera here. You can go online and do more research if you're interested in maybe checking out or purchasing one of the devices that we discussed today. Tomorrow, though, we're continuing our technology article, but we will discuss a different device. So join us tomorrow to find out what that is, or go ahead and read ahead there on page 17 and you'll know. Well, until then, this is Brandon,
Linda,
and Josh
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.